It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with episode 12 of season 2 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Greg, Tony, Jeff, and Tony, the 12th episode.
12th episode, Tom Brady, Roger Staubach, Terry Bradshaw.
Kenny's favorite.
From the basketball world, probably John Stockton. It is a famous 12. Dwight Howard's a famous 12. But I'm looking down ranker here. Wade Boggs may be the first most famous baseball player that was 12. But, I mean, left you out?
No.
Did you wear number 12 in high school?
No.
Greg Revels?
No, I was not number 12.
But he's got an opinion on where he's already.
Well, I was just wondering if you – did you say Roger Staubach?
I did.
Okay.
Oh,
I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I said him and Bradshaw in the same breath.
Okay.
And then he added Stabler.
Yeah, he added Stabler. That's right.
So we got the left-handers in there.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Anybody else?
Well, that'll be all for now.
Okay, you got
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
No, just looking at this crew, I can't believe y'all didn't mention the 12 monkeys. But no, it's not.
that's probably the best thing is going to be said on this podcast all
show long.
Yeah, let's just shut it down now.
Yeah, let's just stop. That's it. We'll see you next week. Oh man, that's great. But you know, 12 is a great number.
Yeah, mostly quarterbacks wear it.
Yeah,
but it is a great number.
Yeah, and a lot of great quarterbacks have worn that number. But we got, as you heard, we got Coach Richard Bell with us, and he's going to talk about all things Leopards. Coach, we talked to you last week. Well, actually, we didn't get to talk to you last week. We talked to you a couple of weeks ago, and this week, you know, you went down to Camden Fairview. You know, we went also, and we came out on the better end of the stick because we got to go eat at the Sandbar.
Oh yeah,
and man, those steaks are great.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I imagine.
They ought to be paying
sometime,
us sponsorship.
Sometime you need
man.
To ride down there with us.
Yeah,
and let Jay buy you a steak.
Yeah, I had a 4-hour cold.
Tell a lot to say. I'm just going to
meet
fine.
You
down
fine.
There. A lot of you're in charge.
Hey, from what I see of the basketball schedule, we're going to be driving by there about 20 times this week. So as an athletic director, you can go with us.
It's definitely a packed basketball schedule. It definitely is.
Yeah, but you know. We go down to Camden Fairview and they were ready.
Well,
to go.
Yeah, they always have a talented team and they've been getting better throughout the year. Coach Vaughn does a great job with those athletes. I mean, they got a bunch of them, but we didn't help them. I mean, we didn't help ourselves.
No.
We right off the bat with turnover after turnover, giving them field position inside our 20, and Tony mentioned it on the sidelines, just a snowball effect, one of those things that started going bad and it didn't stop. All right, again, I didn't think we played well on the offensive line. You know, we teach our guys, you know, to move your feet and block. I saw a lot of hinge blocking where you turn at the waist instead of moving your feet to get in front of guys, especially when they're fast. If you don't move your feet and you hinge block, they're going to beat you, and we saw that when we tried to throw the ball. You know, running back fumbled the ball. Then on defense, again, we didn't tackle well. I had a couple of misalignments. You know, so this is one of those games that we didn't – it's not that they didn't prepare well. They just didn't play well. And again, they did a great job of scheming us on what we were going to do. But, again, you know, this is one of those games that you got to kind of turn the page and move on to the next one. I don't think the guys ever – laid down one bit. I just think that they, you know, they had our number, and from the word go, it didn't go our way.
And you know, and that happens sometimes. And one of the things that I think about that we need to make sure that everybody understands that listens to this podcast is that, you know, we're not playing the Sister Mary's cousins.
Oh, no.
These guys are, you know, that you're talking about, you know, we played Parkview, number one team in our conference and the state in 5A. You've got I believe Camden Fairview was number 4.
Yeah, well
you may
they are number 4. We had 3 of three teams from our conference are in the top four in everybody that ranks. Arkansas Sports Network, Rex Nelson, and
Parkview's ranked number one. Camden was ranked number four, and then Lakeside's ranked number three.
That's right.
Yeah, so I mean, they're very good teams. And again, I don't think the boys intentionally did anything wrong. It's one of those bad games. They played hard. I told Tony even at halftime, I had some of them kind of apologizing to me. And I said, like, "Don't, if you're giving me everything you got, don't apologize. Right. Now hang on to the dang ball."
Yeah.
I was like, you know, and I said, let's start moving our feet. You know, we tried to fix some things to come out second half. Yeah, I mean, we played good teams, but like I said, we didn't play well. I thought we could have played much better and made it a tighter game, just like this week. I don't think Lakeside has near the skill guys that Camden or Parkview has, but man, they got some bowling balls. Sick, you know, they got one guy that's committed to the Razorbacks. You know, he's 6'4", 325 at left tackle. Well, their right tackle is 6'1", 320. You know, so, I mean, they got some big guys. They're running back, you know, 6'2", 225. You know, he doesn't make a lot of moves because he doesn't have to. He'll just run you over, you know. Yeah. So we play some good teams, but again, we can't, with our style of offense and our style of defense, you know, we can't have turnovers inside the red zone and not move the ball, because our whole philosophy is keep the ball in our hands. They can't score, you
That's
know.
Right.
So we want to drive down the field 8 or 9 minutes, punch it in, and then get a couple stops on defense. And it just didn't happen Friday night. You know, it was a good game plan. Then they just had our number.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked with Coach Paul David Willis too about Horatio and Horatio, you know, and kind of the same. It's kind of in this area. It's kind of the same. I mean, same thing. You know, you take the ball. You know, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to take a quarter
correct,
and a half to
correct.
Move the ball
that's
down
like
the field.
What we want to do.
And if you don't score or you turn the ball over at any point in time during that time, then the teams we're playing can score on any play.
Yeah,
if we bust a big one
on offense, you know, it's great. You know, we like that. But what I want is, you know, is disciplined football, 3 to 5 yards every play, control the line of scrimmage. We don't necessarily have to get to the second level. As long as we get that first level blocked, we can get yardage. We just couldn't pull that off Friday night. Hopefully, we can make a change this Friday night and get it done.
Yeah, and we're gonna go with Ulysses Cotto is the Shelter Insurance Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week.
We went with Jake Martin at the stadium.
Yeah, we did.
Who had 7 tackles defensively and went with Ulysses here on the podcast.
Yeah, he had 110 total yards and 6 tackles. So, you know, just the only thing you can say is we need to play better.
Yeah, 100%. When you have games like that, like I told the boys, I brought them up yesterday. After we got done lifting weights, Monday's our big weight day and watching film day and stuff like that. I told them yesterday, I said, look, what we did Friday night, you know, is not how we want to continue to play. I said, we got to bring it back together this week, have a good week of practice, and have a better game. And if a better game means no turnovers, and a better game means, you know, good form tackling and stuff like that, that's fine. As long as we get better and move. My main goal to them this year, and I've told them all year long, is we are moving forwards,
yes,
not backwards. And so as long as we continue to move the program forward and they're getting better, I'm going to be 100% happy with these boys. And they responded well yesterday at practice. Coaches love to say when you have 100% attendance, it's a great day. Because, you know, with these in this day and age, they got a lot of guys at work, a lot of guys are at band, a lot of guys are in cross country, guys are in golf, guys are in tennis, and this and that and the other. Yesterday, I had everybody there, and they were rip-roaring and ready to go. So I was like, hey, today's going to be a good day.
Yeah, that's good. There you go. And, yep. And so you talked – I'm sorry, go ahead, Tony.
Well, at the ball field, you know, we've been so blessed to be – we've been remarkably healthy this year compared to Leopard teams that I've covered in the past, but I noticed Kyle Williamson didn't play the second half.
Yeah, Kyle has had a shoulder injury that's been kind of nagging him all year long, and Friday night he couldn't get off of the big offensive tackle that Camden had, and the guy basically was holding him and tackled Kyle to the ground. When Kyle went down, he went down on that peak of that shoulder. Well, so he's going to be
– he got cheap-shotted one time when he was on the ground.
Yeah.
And the white hat sitting there, and I don't know how he didn't see it.
Well, Kyle was already on the ground, and the guy came and hit him while he was on the ground, and that kind of tweaked it, and then he got him again later. But, yeah, well, I was definitely in that white hat's ear, but you could tell those guys were ready to go home out there at the end. But nothing about the officials. I mean, they wouldn't have changed the game. But, yeah, Kyle's going to be banged up. We're holding him out of contact this week. Sent him to pig therapy yesterday to get a little bit of work on, see how it is. I'd say he's 50-50 for this Friday night. And, you know, if he's hurting at all, I'm probably going to hold him out so we can have him the last two games of the season. But, yeah, right now, I think Kyle's on one we got seriously banged up who may miss Friday. I think everybody else is back. We got Juan Penaloza, who came back from knee surgery. He's going to start this week on O-line. So we get Zayden back on the defensive line, which will help because we lost Kyle.
Right.
So Zayden be back on there. You know, and I expect to have a good week of practice and hopefully a lot better game Friday. But, again, if you're in town this Thursday night, come by Leopard Stadium because the junior high Cubs are going to be playing for a conference championship Thursday night against Lakeside. And if they win it, then they have it all out. You know, they're going to be the undisputed conference champs. If they lose it, it's going to come to points, maybe in a three-way tie and some other things. But if they win it Friday night and Thursday night, then there's going to be no doubt. And that's the first time we've done that in 10 years. And, you know, kudos to those junior high coaches, Coach Dykes and Coach Mendoza and Coach Garcia, and then all the assistant coaches who help out with junior high. You know, we've got Coach Snyder down there a lot trying to help with the O-lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Parsons down there on defense. I'm down there some, you know, and, you know, everybody that helps out with junior high. So if y'all are around Thursday night, come out and see them try to fight for a conference championship for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah, that's a great thing, and we were going to mention that while you were here, but just wanted to talk – just, you know, one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about the big lineman that Lakeside had. I was thinking about Kyle. He's, you know, if he plays, he's going to be outweighed by 125, 150 pounds.
Kyle's barely. If he's pushing 200, he may be 190, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, it's not much, but yeah, like I said, the left tackle is 6'4", 325. So if you move Kyle to the other side, that guy's 6'1", 320.
Yeah.
So they're definitely big, and they love to run power. They love to run slot power. So those big guys, you know, blocking down and pulling their guards. Their guards aren't big. Their guards remind me of our guards. They're true mm-hmm. pulling guards to get out there and kick you out. But they just wash the entire line down with that size, you know. So they're big guys, and they're coached well, and they do a really good job. You know, I think they're undefeated in conference. I know they beat
the only loss has been to Robinson.
Yeah. So they're undefeated in conference so far. So they're a very, very good team. Beat Camden Fairview by a touchdown, I think. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough ball game. It's going to be a tough road to hoe. But, again, if we do what we do, I think we can play with anybody. You know
sure.
what I mean? But if you have a bad game and we turn it over and get ourselves with our back against the wall, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you coming in every week and talking to us about Leopard football. One more time, I want to mention Cub game Thursday night versus Lakeside here. Be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. Both teams are very, very talented. You know, like I said, so it could go either way. And I'm just really proud for the junior high football players. You know, they put in all their work. Great, great group of kids. Like I said, I've been coaching them since they're in Pee Wee. They love football. We got a great group of coaches around them. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun night Thursday night, any way it goes. I mean, right now they're sitting at 7-1. Hopefully they can end the season out 9-1 and have a great year. And then come Friday night, the Leopards go to Lakeside, and we're going to try to do the same thing, you know, beat up on Lakeside. Then finish out the next 2 weeks, we're going to have Magnolia and then Arkansas High. So we're getting close to the end.
Yeah, it's getting there. But, we appreciate you so much for all you do for our podcast. And I just want to – one other thing I just want to quickly mention is
sure.
you didn't really put yourself in there too much, but every one of the coaches are there for those junior high games and helping with junior high all the time. It's not, you know, including you. I mean, y'all are all there and all supporting junior high and senior high every week. And, that, you know, I know that takes a lot of extra time.
Oh, yeah. At all junior high games, we have – high school and junior high staff on the field, and me and Coach Binkley and Coach Light are up in the box on the headsets helping them out where we can. And then on Friday nights, you know, we have Drew Dykes and Adrian Mendoza who are in the box on senior high nights helping us out see what we can't see. So we all coach everybody 7 through 12, and they do a great job. I mean, I don't want to say I hate saying me, so I always say them, because they, without them, it wouldn't run. You know, if it was just me trying to run 150 kids, 7 through 12, it would be a disaster. So yeah. Having those guys, you know, on the high school staff, Coach Bankley, Coach Lida, Coach Crocker, Coach Parson, and then junior high when you got Dykes and Mendoza and Garcia, all those guys make sure that all these players have the best, you know, leadership they can.
Yeah, and you know, one additional thing I wanted to say, not only did they do it, Drew Dykes helped us out on the radio broadcast Friday night because he was behind us.
Yeah.
And so we got to hear some of his comments a few times on the radio.
Yeah, well, but, I'm just glad y'all couldn't hear mine over there.
I understand that. Yeah. Man, we appreciate you so much, and all I got to say is go Leopards.
Oh, 100% go Leopards, baby.
DeQueen Animal Hospital. One of our oldest sponsors here for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Yeah, the OGs. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. The Martins, right?
Yes.
Dr. Martin.
Jennifer Martin.
Bringing nothing but excellence in veterinary services to
for
Southwest.
26 years.
26 years. There's nowhere better to take your pets to than DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. And they want to thank you. For 26?
26 years.
26 years. You know, they appreciate your business. You know about them. You know what I mean? If you've been living here and you've had any kind of pet problems or a new pet, you know, it's always fun to take your new pet down there and get them the name over and they remember it and get the checkup and all that. Your heartworm medication, your flea and tick medication, all of that is taken care of. Spay and neutering for cats and dogs. And come on. I mean, it's... Hey,
whatever you need, they're there for you. Take care of your pet. All the needs they have.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about it is, and this is true with all our sponsors, but I just want to mention this with the Martins. Not only are they a great veterinary
nailed it
service,
mm-hmm.
they I somehow I have to say that really slow.
Yeah.
Great vet service.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the best vets in
That's
Southwest
right.
Arkansas. And but not only are they the great vet service, they also are just great community supporters.
Yes.
And just all the time doing different things. We appreciate them so much. 26 years in business, and they just want to thank all their customers for all they've done for them over the past 26 years. And I want to say thank you to them for all they've done for our community and for all my pets and animals over the last 26 years.
So did 200 people on Google who want to say thank you with 5-star glowing reviews to DeQueen Animal Hospital. And I think it's out of every 100 customers you might have, one will leave a review. So 200 already on Google there with 5-star reviews is amazing. So obviously everybody here in Sevier County, we all can feel thankful for having a place we can take our pets that we trust, we rely on, and you know, they do have great pricing on their medication and services, and you know them. That's another big deal there, too.
That's right. Not just Sevier County, Little River County also.
That's right. Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, 870-898-5181. Schedule an appointment today. Also, DeQueen Animal Hospital, 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen, 870-642-8387.
Vets.
That's right. Let's get to it. We have Jim Cross on the line.
Jim, good to hear from you this week. Ashdown, Nashville, big rivalry game. Ashdown comes up on the short end of the stick this time.
Yeah, we started out early. Second play of the game, Riley Williamson hit Bryson French for a 75-yard touchdown. We thought, okay, here we go. And it was only 16-6 at halftime. But then the third quarter, their depth. And I'm telling you, Kaysen Morgan, their receiver, he's as good as I've seen in a long time. I think he was 7 catches for like 222, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he was a man among boys out there.
And that's a pretty good day.
Yeah, that's a pretty good day for anybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
It sure is. And you know, just you know, I got to tell you this little story. You know, we were doing the game down at Camden Fairview, and of course, you know, in studio here we have board ops, and you know that a lot of people may not, but so they can go back and forth and find out the score. Well, so we ask our board op, we say, hey, see if you can find out the Nashville Ashdown score. He comes back and says it's 60-7, and I said 60-7, and he said, yeah. And I, so I said, and I even said on the radio, I said, I don't really believe this score, but I'm going to put it out there. It says Nashville 60, Ashdown 7. He, about 1 second later, he comes back and said, I was wrong. It was 16-6.
It reminds me of the 16 candles. Married? Married!
Oh, wow. That's a big difference, 16-6.
Yeah, well, you know what? We were actually going to see if somebody was giving you CPR if it was 16-7.
Yeah. You know, fellas, probably the best thing that happened to Daryl and I felt sorry for Riley, but the station went blank for about 3 minutes at the end of the game, and so that's probably the best thing that could have happened before Daryl and I incriminated ourselves by saying something we didn't need to say.
Well, you know, sometimes the games are just like that, man. I'm going to tell you what. Well, first I'm going to ask you this. Who's your Domtar Ashdown Panther Player of the Week?
Colson Rowe. He's our offensive guard. And also a defensive tackle. He was in on several tackles. And in the running game went pretty well at times. And so Colton Rowe, he's a junior, kind of probably one of the team leaders. He played his usual A-plus game. And so Colton Rowe would be the player of the game.
Okay. Okay. Well, moving on, Jim, doesn't get any easier.
No.
Got the Arkadelphia Badgers, man. They're something else.
Yeah, you know, they – you know, non-conference every year, they play the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys, and they come out 1-2 every year.
I think they beat
year.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that was their one victory. But, you know, they play such high-level competition. And like I say on the radio, you can be guaranteed of three things: death, taxes, and Arkadelphia's got a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, they're always – you know, and they'll probably have 60 guys. And, you know, we have 28, and so mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. But really, guys, we just need to play hard and just don't get anybody hurt. And then the Bauxite and the Fountain Lake game will decide playoffs. And
right,
if we can
right.
somehow win both of those, you get the 4 seed. You win one of those, you get the 5th seed. And I just found out from Coach McCaslin that, and this is terrible news for them, the Bauxite starting quarterback broke his leg Friday night.
Oh.
And so that's going to even make it tougher on them. And, you know, they're kind of like us. You know, you get a big injury and it's hard to – so they've moved the Wimberly kid, their star player, to quarterback. And they just don't have anybody else to play quarterback. So, you know, you feel like you got a chance against Bauxite now. And you feel like you got a really good chance against Fountain Lake. So, you know, if this group of 28 players, if – you could make it to the playoffs, I think that'd be a great season for the Panthers.
Well, you know, Jim, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
You mentioned the strong offensive and defensive lines that Arkadelphia seems to come up with every year. What's sometimes overlooked about Arkadelphia, and this team is no different, they've only given up 36 points in their last 4 games on defense, and I don't know how many of those have been in mop-up time, but their defense, their offense may be a tick down, their defense may be a tick up.
Yeah, I agree. Defensively, especially Coach McCaslin said their 4 linemen up front are as good as he's seen in a while, and you know, just dominant. And so, you know, if those guys are dominant, that means your linebackers aren't getting blocked. And I mean, it's going to be tough sledding. And you know, we just hope that we can kind of stay with them early. And you know, the ball obviously going to have to you know fall our way, but it's at home, and you know that certainly helps. And the guys are, you know, jacked up about it, feel like they've got nothing to lose, and let's just go play and see what happens.
That's right. There's a reason they play the games, Jim.
Sometimes the best things happen when there's nothing to lose.
That's very true. Very true.
Oh,
also, Riley Williamson had a real good game. He threw for, like, I think about 180 and ran for 85. So he had a good game as well for the Panthers. And you can see he's getting better every week. And, you know, he scrambles in the pocket well, and the only thing that concerns me about Riley, and I kidded him about this in the interview Monday, is he likes to run over people, and he weighs 150 pounds, and you know, we don't have a lot of quarterbacks in waiting, and so we need him to stay healthy the rest of this season.
He's a hard runner, and when he was on defense, played really hard on defense also.
Yes, he does. So. Yeah, he's a. But, you know, he's the kind of guy you build your team around. And, I mean, he's not as – you talk to him before and after the game, he's the same guy. He doesn't – the competition doesn't concern him. He just goes out there and plays. And, I mean, you can always count on a good effort from Riley Williamson.
Yeah. Well, Jim, anything else to tell us before we let you go today?
Well, let's see, guys. I can't think of it. Nashville kind of leaves you speechless sometimes after they beat you.
So. Yeah, I understand. I understand that. I've been there plenty of times. Believe me. and as have a lot of other people. Great tradition there, and they usually come up with a good team.
They certainly do.
Yeah, and so anyway, we're looking forward to hearing from you next week, Jim, looking for a good result over the Arkadelphia Badgers.
Hey, sounds good. Great. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah,
appreciate you,
brother. Have a great week, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. We're here with Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions. Coach went to smack over, and I think the term for it would be you got smacked. 49-6, big victory for the Buckaroos over the Lions. Any thoughts on the game?
Yeah, them suckers are fast and we can't catch them.
Okay. Okay.
Which, I mean, I knew that going in, so it's not like that was a shock to the system. But, I told the kids yesterday at practice, I said, I've been doing this mess for, 39 years, and I've seen some stuff the last 3 weeks that it's mind-boggling. We played the week before and played the whole game and scored every drive we had and didn't punt. And then we go down to Smackover, and they kicked off to us. And we ate up all but a minute and 13 seconds of the first quarter. We went on a 23-play drive. We had five penalties that we overcame the penalties. And we got the ball down to the three-yard line and run out of downs and didn't score. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the first quarter, we're down 7-0. So we had ball, all but a minute and 13, and we got nothing out of it. And they got 7 points out of a minute.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how our season's gone. We did some good things. I mean, you don't hang on to the ball for 23 minutes and not do anything right.
No, that's
so great. We did some good things.
Impressive.
And then they, they go down, and of course they get the ball to a guy that we can't catch, and then they score, and then we end up turning the ball over on the next drive, and they picked it up and scored. So before we knew it, it's 14-0, and our kids, they just kind of act like, that was all mirage early in the game, and it really didn't happen, and they turned a can of butt whooping loose.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things about that situation is, first of all, it seems to be a theme on all the teams in our area that we cover, you've got two things. You basically have to do everything right, and you have long, time-consuming drives. And when you do and you don't score, that's deflating.
It's untelling how it would have changed that game if you stick that first one in the end zone.
That's right.
Right. Well, we know that, and it's, from my point of view, it's frustrating because we got some good kids and they're doing some good things and we're getting better, but we really hadn't learned to overcome adversity, and I think it goes back to a lot of the things a lot of people in this area are facing. We got a long history of not being successful, and when you're not successful, you're kind of waiting on the next bad thing to happen.
Yeah, I think it's like my coach used to tell me, Coach, you got to learn how to win. And that's,
you're right.
And I think that's true for all these teams. And, another side of it is, and what you told us about the first quarter is a perfect example. You take that and it takes us, 20 plays in the whole quarter to score, even if you do score. And then, but the teams we're playing, one mistake and they're gone for a touchdown. That's area-wide. It's not just the Lions. It makes it very difficult when they can score every play. They can score, and that's just not the way our teams are made up right now.
You're right.
And so anyway, the deal is, I think from what I've seen from the Lions, they're continuing to improve and they're getting better. And so we're looking forward to this week. They're hosting the Falk Panthers, and I know that. Falk's 4-3, but I think there should be a good game down at Lions Stadium.
We're
We're hoping so. I mean, like I told you last week, the week before, everybody we play is bigger and faster than us. I think the separation in speed between us and Falk is not like it was between us and Spackover. They are faster than us. They've got one back that's extremely fast, but Spackover had 18 that was extremely fast. So yeah. It's a little different. They are bigger than us. You know, they've got older kids. We're starting a lot of sophomores, so their kids have been in the weight room. They're bigger and stronger than us. But I do think we match up better this week than we did last week. And it's the same story. I mean, we're gonna have to execute what we do and cut out the mental mistakes and play. And if we do, we'll have a chance.
I agree. And we get to this point in the season, it is the same story just about every week.
Well, one of the things that impressed me about the Falk Panthers is the first game of the year they beat the Outlaws 21-0 and shut down Jordan Hill, which has been something that nobody else has been able to do. So you may be facing a pretty good defense down there.
Well, they play hard. Coach Wilson does a good job with him. I coached with him back in the past. I talked to him this weekend. He knows all my secrets, and so I'm going to have to some of that crazy stuff that we want to do, we're not going to be able to do.
Well, hop on the Madden game this week and get a few trick plays off there.
Hey, don't put it. You got to remember, I'm 62, so anything technology wise will be a struggle.
Yeah, we're up there in the same age range.
Yeah. Going back to the Smackover game, you got a Horatio State Bank a line player of the week.
We decided to give it to Colin Green. Colin Green's a big sophomore left tackle for us, and playing hard and is getting better every week. I'm expecting big things out of. I actually got him and another sophomore playing the other tackle, so I got two big sophomore tackles that they're
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Coach, as we do every week, and look forward to talking to you next week about the line victory over the Falk Panthers. Or is that the Falk Monsters? Which one?
The Falk Monsters. No. Well, it's a missed opportunity, but they are the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I've never.
But anything else before we let you go today?
No, I think you got it.
All right. We appreciate you so much. Talk to you next week.
Go Lions.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
UA Cossetot, cccua.edu. Everything that you need to know about UA Cossetot is located on that excellent website. And if you're a big fan of the Colts, you can visit their separate website at uacossetotcolts.com. You can find all of the information on both UA Cossetot Colts .com and cccua.edu for the UA Cossetot Foundation, in which you can donate and even specify which departments get that money.
Yeah, there's two ways to do that. You can donate funds that are used currently, or you can endow a scholarship where they'll keep their principal balance and they'll use the earnings from that to perpetually offer scholarships now and into the future. You just want to talk about the sports programs there just for a second before we get into the meat of the matter.
Yes.
And they've got basketball, they've got soccer, both men's and women's. They've also got shooting sports. Let's talk about shooting sports just for a second.
Yes, sir.
Big deal in Southwest Arkansas. Lots of great shooting sports teams in the high school arena, and they have moved on now, a lot of them, on to Cossetot, and they are competing nationally and competing well.
Yes, absolutely. They're doing excellent. The Colts competing at the NJCAA Division II level in men's and women's clay target shooting. Brett Blackburn, serving as the shooting sports coach, he says the shooting program will build on the foundation started by high school and junior high school students of the AYSSP program from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, and they look forward to building on these skills as the student athletes grow as citizens and competitors at the collegiate level. So go Colts with their shooting sports going on strong right now. This weekend, in fact, I believe they have a meet.
That's exactly right.
So very, very cool. Back to scholarships for a moment. Arkansas Academic Challenge, providing scholarships to Arkansas residents pursuing a higher education funded by the Arkansas Scholarship Lottery. It's available to students regardless of academic status and is based on the applicant's ACT composite or equivalent score. Scholarships out the wazoo. for everybody going to UA-Cossetot. If you're going, you need to apply, right?
Yep.
Yes, sir. Arkansas Future Grant aims to increase education and skills of Arkansas's workforce, applies to students in science, technology, STEM, or regional high-demand areas of study like nursing, medical assisting, radio broadcasting, et cetera.
Maybe we ought to go learn something.
Yeah, we might. We might. They know more than we do, that's for sure. And then other scholarships, like so many, LEO dependent scholarship, military dependent scholarship, single parent scholarships, Workforce Investment Act, a program that helps people in Southwest Arkansas get employed. It's amazing. Their employer resources are immense as well.
Yeah, and you talk about workforce, the employer resources that Cossetot offers, you know, they work directly with the area businesses and industries to train people for the jobs that those industries need.
Yeah.
And you look at commercial truck driving, pharmacy tech, phlebotomy tech, medical billing and coding, nursing assistants. You got
linemen.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm sorry.
No, you're
linemen,
fine.
And, you know, just all different kinds of places that welding. They've got all different kinds of things to get people ready for workplace. And you can go in, go through the training.
Yeah.
Immediately get a job.
I mean, 100% workplace placement in some of these areas. And you listen to some of them, commercial truck driving, medical billing, the pharmacy tech, the lineman. We need these people.
Oh, yeah.
We need them. So that's why they're pushing so hard for these certifications that you can get. And work placement is crazy, man. Everybody needs it.
Yeah. And, you know, a couple of things about the going to the what I call the two-year college, mm-hmm. being an old person, or getting an associate's degree, I think that's what they call it now.
That's what they say now.
Yeah, and you can do that in all different kinds of areas of study. But one of the biggest things I want to talk about right now is those areas of study. If you go 2 years to Cossetot, get your associate's degree, you go on to Fayetteville, to the UA, mm-hmm. finish your four-year degree there, you get to pay the same rate per hour as you pay at Cossetot, which based on what I learned this week, saves you about $15,000.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's an incredible savings there.
Yeah.
And you know, and they've got all kinds of things going from teaching to ag business to criminal justice and you know, to education. I'm just all different kinds of things. I'm not going to try to mention them all.
Well, the list goes on.
Yeah, it goes on and on, but just so many different things to do.
High school programs as well. Mm-hmm. UA-Cossetot offering college-level courses that high school students can take even before graduating with their high school diploma. Imagine graduating with your diploma and your associate's degree at the same time.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Those are special kids, and UA-Cossetot is a special place. www.cccua.edu for anything you need to know about UA-Cossetot.
We've got Coach Ed Baker of the Foreman Gators with us today, and Coach played Spring Hill, and they came to Foreman, and Foreman came out on the short end of the stick this week.
Yeah, it's really scores not real indicative of the game. It was 27-14 at halftime. They came out, got two scores pretty quick. We answered. DJ Anderson had an 85-yard kickoff return, made it 14-8. We got the 2-point, and then they hit a couple of, they hit, scored like the next play, long pass, and then wound up getting another one. And then right before the half, we put one in the last play of the half, about a 30-yard touchdown pass to Everett Martz, and it was 27-14. We came out third quarter, had about an 8-minute drive, got down inside the 20 with a chance to cut it to a one-score game, and then got behind the chains and turned it over on downs, and then they went on about an 8-minute drive going into the fourth quarter and punched one in with just over 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and then that kind of sealed the deal because the very next offensive play, we fumbled the ball and they scored pretty quick. So it was actually a pretty tight game early fourth quarter, with a chance to be even tighter, and then they took over.
You know, just Coach, seems to be a recurring theme throughout the Southwest Arkansas teams this week. two things. One, driving the ball but not scoring, and then secondly, turning the ball over led to scores for the other teams. And you know, and the thing about it is, you know, as you look throughout, it doesn't matter whether you're playing peewees or you're playing NFL. If you drive the ball all the way down the field and don't score, it just seems to be a demoralizing thing for the team that does that. Kind of helps the other team as they move forward, and then you turn the ball over, just gives them even more incentive to go on.
Right. Yeah, that turnover really hurt us. But I thought our defense responded well after we had the long drive, though, where we could have cut it to one. They like I said, they went on, I think it was about 15 plays, and kind of like ours, 7 or 8 minutes, but they were able to punch it in. So turnovers make a huge difference, that's for sure.
Yep. Well, anything else to add to that game before you tell me who your Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week is?
Well, I'm just real proud of our kids. I think we wound up with 12 healthy bodies by the end of the night. We just kind of ran out of gas in that fourth quarter. Brody Bearden had like 17 carries for 150-plus yards. Everett March, like I said, had a good game. And then DJ Anderson had the huge kickoff return. So, but just real proud of our kids overall, like I said, competing and staying in there and battling with low numbers.
Well, I mean, that sounds really good. 12 kids, that's an unbelievable task to just stay in the game, the whole game. So who would you say your Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week was?
It'd be Everett March. He had 2 catches for 56 yards and a touchdown, and also had an interception on defense. And he's just a young guy. He's a junior, but he hadn't played any football really till he got here this past spring. So he kind of grew up the other night a little bit.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. This week, we got Jeff Tuttle, who's the play-by-play guy for Dirks, and the Queen Motorsports Game of the Week is going to be the Dirks and Foreman game, and looking forward to that. But I just kind of got to talk to both you guys at the same time about it. Dirks is 4-3, Foreman's 0-7. What thoughts you have about the Outlaws?
Oh, they're well coached and really a good program. Coach Ernest has done a great job there. They're going to be tough. They're going to be physical. They do a lot of misdirection. So it's going to be tough for us defensively, and then offensively, it's the same thing. It's going to be tough. Again, we'll be low numbers this week. So we're going to battle and give it everything we got. But it's definitely a challenge.
Jip, you got anything?
Yeah, Coach, I don't think it's any secret. The Outlaws are going to see a lot of Brody Bearden and DJ Anderson, and y'all are going to get a good dose of Jordan Hill. You know, there's no secret in that. Everybody's got to go to their strengths.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, by this time of the year, there's not a whole lot of secrets left anyway, are there, Coach?
No, sir. Kind of got film on everybody, and you've seen them. And so, yeah, not a whole lot new.
Well, anything else you got for us this week, Coach? Anything else going on down at Foreman you want to mention?
Our high school girls are playing in volleyball regionals this week, and so we're looking forward to that. And that's kind of it. Junior high has a game on. We'll be playing on Thursday at Derrick's. So that'll be and then we got one more junior high game after that. So
that's big junior high
season's
game.
Season's winding down.
Yeah, big junior high game too, Foreman and Dirks.
Yes, sir.
So, and also congratulations to the volleyball team on making it to regionals. That's an accomplishment. So congratulations to them, and also congratulations to Everett March on being the Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week. Coach, we appreciate you as always, and we just look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks again for all you guys do for high school sports, and go Gators.
Go Gators. And we're here with Coach Dakota Barrett of the Costot River Eagles. Coach, finished up your football season last week with a great victory over the Horatio Lions, 22-12.
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, we talked a little bit before. I felt like it was a game we could win. You go down there and play them, you know, and Coach Willis, he got ready to roll, and his boys play hard, and he's kind of changing the culture down there too. But we felt like we could win it. We we had 2 weeks to practice for it. We played Blevins on a Tuesday the week before, and we felt really good about it. And we went down there and, to be honest, played like I thought we could play, and I was really proud of the guys.
That's really great. You know, second season, you finish up your second season, 2 wins this season. Got a question for you. I know now you've played 2 junior high seasons. What's the plan moving forward as far as moving these kids up? Some of them have got to be sophomores now, and you moving up to play JV in addition to junior high next year?
Well, I tell you, that's been the talk the last week, is where do we go from here? And I've got a good group of current ninth graders. You know, they're going to be going in 10th grade. So our plan as of today, if we had to set it in stone, would be we're going to play a JV senior high schedule. We're going to try to play 6 or 7 senior high games. We're going to attempt to play a regular junior high schedule again. And with that being said, we are going to have 2 Friday night regular football games. One of those is going to be Horatio, week 0. And then one of those is going to be Lafayette County, week 3. And, you know, I think if we do a JV and we do a couple regular Friday nights too, that will give us a good idea in our community of where we're at. You know, because there's a big difference. You play in JV and then you walk in there on a Friday night, and that's a must win for those guys. You know, that's an atmosphere difference. Y'all know what it's like on a Friday night compared to a Monday or Tuesday. It's just different. So
that is, I'll tell you what, that is exciting. I'm so glad to hear that, because it's something Greg and I talked about in the car a couple of times, is, you know, that is the natural direction of the program. And I'm glad to hear that you all recognize that.
Well, I tell you what too, you know, we're with the scheduling and everything and how the season went, the numbers stayed. We're getting geared up to build a field house. We're getting geared up to fix our football field. It's going to be ready to go hopefully next year. Hopefully have field house completed this summer. Get press box put up this summer. I mean, we've got some big plans. Our community's behind it. I mean it when I say it, but football's here to stay.
Coach Barrett, awesome. Yeah, that's great. My question to you is, in addition to be a football coach, basketball coach, you also going to be the head of construction for that field house?
Well, they probably want to keep any hammer out of my hand.
So you and I sound like we got something in common.
yeah, that sounds good. But, man, just tell us real quickly a little bit about the game last Thursday.
Yeah, hey, I tell you what, it was a lot like the last time we went down there just 3 or 4 weeks ago. We come out first half, and we controlled the ball really well, but we couldn't stop nothing. Our defense was just playing on our heels, what was not playing aggressive. For lack of better words, we go into halftime, we're up 14-12, I do believe, and we get into halftime, and I don't know if I've ever – ripped into junior high quite the way I did that night. I think I broke a headset. I haven't shared that with my superintendent yet, but I guess he'll hear it on here.
Oops.
You know, and really just challenge the guys. I think our biggest thing is learning how to win. I know that sounds goofy to people, but we've been so close, and this group of guys, they're that way in baseball, basketball, football. They just never finished. And we come out at halftime, and you know, basically I challenge them. We're going to go out here and we're going to punch them in the mouth, and we're going to win the ball game. And our defense showed up, and we certainly did that. Our offense, we fumbled the first 3 offensive plays and lost it. And wow. Went 4 and out, got the ball back, fumbled it, 4 and out, got the ball back, fumbled it, 4 and out again. And, you know, we come into a timeout, and I just told them, ain't nothing I can do about fumbling football. You're going to have to hold on to it. We're going to have to get this thing rolling. And we did. We went and scored 2 more times. We controlled the clock. And as y'all guys know, I mean, that's what run split backs is. We're not built for down 40. We want to be in control. And in order to be in control, you have to play good defense too.
Right.
And they answered the call. It was a great game to end the year on. And, man, I'm just really proud of the guys.
Yeah, you know, we were really excited about the season for y'all too, and the growth we saw in the second year, and look forward to seeing what's coming on. You got a Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week for the final game there?
I do. I wish he wasn't in my classroom right now because his head's going to swell up. But he's a seventh grader, and it's going to go to Zane Collett. He come in, started playing some corner for Murfreesboro area, so he's played a little football, but he come in, really sets the edge for us, and he's done a really good job all year, but he'll be our player of the game for the week.
Let me ask you a question, Coach. How big a boy is Zane?
Zane is not a very big boy. Okay. Zane is
That's good to know.
Zane is all of about 3'6" and 32 pounds.
That's good to know.
I tell you this, you know, he's not afraid to bite you, and he comes up and put a hit on you, and you know it, and he's not scared of the moment, you know. And I'll be just real honest with you, too. He takes a butt chewing well. He'll look you in the eye and say, yes, sir, and move right along. That goes a long ways in my book.
Yep.
Well, man, anything else to talk about in regards to the Eagles football season before we let you go?
I tell you what, we're just kind of what I said earlier, but we're here to stay. We're fired up for it. Football is going to be something we talk about at Costop for a long time. I'm blessed to be a part of it, blessed to get an opportunity to be around however long that is. And I won't lie, we've done switch gears. We're off-season football. And basketball season around here, and I officially turned basketball huddle film on and trying to get into that mindset. So
that'll be our next conversation.
That's what I was going to say. We'll be talking to you about basketball really soon. Just real quickly, do you know when your first game is?
Hey, November 1st, we go down to Akron to the Akron Classic. I got Cata Hills first. I ain't going to lie to y'all. If Bergman, I don't know what you know about Bergman, but They have moved out of our regionals into another region. Our conference has inherited Subiaco, Lamar, Lavaca, and Mansfield. Very, very tough conference, but I believe the top four in our conference could be in state tournament. And, you know, that's our goal. That's our talk in the locker room, state tournament or bust. And I'm fired up. We've got a good group of guys. They work really hard. I'm officially in my basketball mode. So,
well, we'll be talking to you soon about that. And I'm going to tell you, you mentioned something about the football that's here to stay, and you're glad. We appreciate you letting us be just a small part of that.
Absolutely.
We really enjoyed watching the Eagles as they start a program from nothing and move forward.
Well, I tell you what, guys, too, and I know I've thanked y'all for it, but if y'all ever start thinking it don't matter, I want to tell you to rethink that, because all these kids that come through here and the parents, and they hear this radio show, and, you know, they've got a cousin that plays at Horatio or nephew over at D Queen. You know, you're shining a light on something that this area ain't had in a long time. So y'all are doing a great job, and we sure appreciate you.
Thank you for that. We appreciate you, man. And as we move into basketball, we'll be talking to you soon. Go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Sounds good, guys. Y'all have a great week.
Let's take a second to talk about our very title sponsor and one of our oldest sponsors, again, since the inception of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. They were on board the moment that it was mentioned. It's Walker Family Clinic, or Walker Empire. Dr. Randy Walker with the Family Practice and Allergy Clinic, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on 777. They accept Arkansas and Oklahoma Medicaid. Services include adult and primary care, laboratory testing, hopefully reading for me, wellness and physicals, drug screening, wound care, fracture care and casting, workers' comp, x-ray, EKG, spirometry. Sounds cool. IV fluids and antibiotics, joint injections, and adult and pediatric allergy and immunizations. Just a few of the services that they have on offer. 870-584-3000. Option 6 for after hours triage. You will talk to a real person. Brad Patterson handling all those things. Things happen. We are here after hours, they say. Very, very cool. Walker Pediatrics, of course, in DeQueen. Monday through Friday, they're open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. My personal pediatrician for my child. And Nick Matthews, an excellent guy. My son loves him, and all, even the nurses, everybody there, really, really cool. Of course, they've got the clinic coming to Foreman coming soon. Can't wait for some more information on that. And, what do you got over there, Greg?
Well, I'll tell you one thing I've got. I've got Jackson Walker, JW's dumpster service and trash service. And, you know, he is picking up trash. He's taking new customers. Mm-hmm. And he's also got dumpsters that he'll bring to your place. You can fill up with trash, and he'll haul it off for you. So call him at 870-784-2700, JW's Dumpster Service, and ask for Precious.
Yes, please ask for Precious. Please do that. I'm hearing Simple Simons has some deals going on.
Oh, man. Greg, did you know it's National Pizza Month?
I did, in addition to other things.
It is in addition to other things.
Specifically pepperonis.
Three large one-topping pizzas at Simple Simons for $36.99. Simple Simons is located at 924 East Collin Ray Drive, right across from Walmart. Mm. And the shout-out I would give them this week, man, is if you are feeding a bunch of young people, whether it's a football team, whether it's a youth group, and you're trying to get together hot dogs and hamburgers, you're nuts.
Yeah.
Go to Simple Simons, talk to somebody there, and feed them pizza. You can do it much more affordably, easy cleanup, and young people love pizza, man.
Oh, yeah. It's a great catering service that they do for that type. The Beast Feast or on and on.
Yes.
For any, even down to, you know, you're doing like a sports watching event at your house or something like that. Have Simple Simons cater it. That brings cuts out a whole area of stuff you have to do.
Yeah, you always need to call them that 642-4103. And just ask them what kind of specials they got. I mean, you want 10 pizzas, you want 20 pizzas, you want whatever you want. You know, they can work with you.
Yeah,
they will work with
easy,
you to give
easy.
You the best deal. And it's the best thing. It's great food, and it's simple. You know what the cleanup is?
What's that? Yeah.
Put the box together, throw it in the trash,
that's
and let's
right.
go home.
Let's go home.
That's right. So
that's right.
That's why it's so great to have that pizza there, and they're so great to help. Great community partners, just like we talked about earlier with the Martins and everything that Angie and Randy do. They're just so great.
Absolutely.
You know, and talking about something else they got, Ayers Cleaners. You know, and again, you know, I'm just going to say they'll clean anything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything they won't clean. So until they tell us something they won't clean, we're going to say they'll clean anything.
They clean it.
Yeah, they'll clean it. You take it, they'll clean it. I am still amazed by the wash-dry fold.
Yeah.
The wash-dry fold gets me $1.99 a pound.
Perfect.
I mean, why would anybody buy a washer and dryer?
I have no idea.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. And it's folded. I mean, it's like, okay, so I wash laundry. I
don't fold it.
Are you kidding? That's that last step I'm not going to do. It's all just a big clump, you know, that I pull out of.
Yeah, that you throw on your bed that you don't make up, right?
Sniff test. Yep, those are good. All that is cut out at Ayers Cleaners.
That's exactly right. It's all folded. I guarantee it's in a nice little package for you.
Too. Oh, yeah.
Obviously. And so all you got to do is go pick it up. Go see them at 621 West Gilson. Call them at 870-584-7128. They're open from 7 to 5:30 Monday through Friday and 9 to 12 for pickup and delivery on Saturday.
Beautiful, man. And let's not forget, Dr. Randy Walker has a clinic in Dierks as well, open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with all the services and quality you've come to expect. And let's talk about Dierks for a second with King Tut.
Jeff, give us a little bit about the Junction City game, whatever you want to tell us about it.
King Tut's also what I like to call myself.
Yeah. He's working on vanity plates.
First, let's just say it's been a tough two-week stretch for the Outlaws, you know, back-to-back losses to Murfreesboro and into Junction City. And I want to start off by saying, without offending too many people, Murfreesboro was a better team when they defeated us. I don't necessarily think that last week, even though we lost to Junction City 47-20. You know, we let some things get out of hand as the game went on, and it ended up a pretty lopsided score. But early in the game, the Outlaws, matter of fact, on Junction City's opening drive, forced them to punt. And the Outlaws fumbled the ball inside the 10. Mm. Junction City recovers it, punches it in. You know, they score again. The Outlaws come back and score. And just before the half, as a matter of fact, there was 7 seconds on the clock. The Outlaws had scored to cut it to 18-13, trailing by 5, and we're going to get the ball to start the second half. Junction City returns the kickoff for a touchdown. So, and then to start the second half, the Outlaws go for a fourth down early in their own territory, turn it over, Junction City scores. Nothing good happened after that.
You know what Tony says, don't you?
What's
no
that?
Kickoff that's kicked out of bounds has ever been returned for a touchdown.
Gary Eggleton, Hurricane High School.
Spud Moore sitting right beside me on the radio broadcast was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I said, I'm all about the squib kick on the ground, get the clock rolling.
Mm-hmm.
That's all fine and dandy if you make a tackle, and we didn't do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Outlaws outgained Junction City.
You want to hear my philosophy on this? I would set one of my coaches in a bright collared shirt at the 35-yard line, okay, of the you know, you're kicking from the 40 on the opposite side 35, and I would tell my kicker, kick it as hard as you can on the ground right at that coach. It either bounces off somebody, or maybe somebody does make a great play on it, or it goes out of bounds and they get the ball to the 35-yard line anyway. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think too. I think if you give a high school team the ball at the 35 every time, and now I'm going to say this: if you can kick it in out of the end zone,
okay.
Kick it in the end zone with a 90% efficiency on that, then that's what you need to do. But if you can't kick it, you know, what I've seen this year is we've been better off kicking every one of our balls out of bounds if we got it past the 35. Where they just got it on the 35,
yeah.
And I think that that's probably true for most high school teams. I don't know about I don't see a whole lot of other ones, but no, I don't see a whole lot of
kick it out in the end zone, especially in 2A. And you know, we talked about on the broadcast the other night. You hear coaches talk about winning all three phases of the game,
mm-hmm.
and special teams is one of those phases. And Outlaws lost at that the other night. Like I say, the fumbled punt, and they also fumbled three or four kickoffs to them. They recovered them.
But, yeah.
I mean, you're right there where you fumbled it. You're not getting any return yardage out of it.
Well, also a testament to what you're talking about is the Outlaws outgained Junction City. Am I correct?
331 yards, total yards for the Outlaws, 289 for Junction City.
You know, and you lose by 27. There's something, you know, one of these things don't go with the other.
Yeah. I mean, it's – like I say, after they scored on the failed fourth down conversion in the third quarter. You know, the Outlaws came back and scored another one. Attempted an onside kick, great onside kick. We just didn't get the recovery. And then they scored two more unanswered after that. Little ruckus on the field, kind of got everybody distracted. I won't really get into all that because none of those kids deserve to be talked about, us or them, the way they acted. So I'll just leave it at that. Some numbers on the night, Peyton Beckman. Had a good night, you know, quarterback. He's been steady for us all year. He was 6 of 12 for 103 yards with a touchdown pass. Juan Salazar was the receiving end of that touchdown. And then Jordan Hill, I know this will surprise y'all. he had 23 carries for 123 yards, one reception for 28 yards for 151 total yards. Tackle charts, you know, you had to – lots of people with multiple tackles on there. So,
how many did Jordan Hill have? Just
tackles?
Yeah.
Two.
Okay.
So, and no interceptions. We usually get to throw an interception in there for him, but
yeah.
Junction City didn't throw it around much.
Yeah.
So,
well, just a tough game, and probably didn't end up the way that the Outlaws would have liked. And I'm not talking about score-wise. I'm talking about the ruckus.
Yeah.
And you know, but we'll leave that where it is, and we'll leave that for other people
we'll
to
leave
talk
that for
about.
The AAA.
Yeah, the AAA can deal with that. They won't, but they could.
No, they're too busy focusing on Greenwood. Yeah, making sure Greenwood has somebody to play.
Yeah, that's right. They got to make sure Greenwood didn't get in a ruckus. So, you know, now if they got in one, that'd be a different story. You know,
that's
so,
right.
Hey, you know, one thing you got
that's terrible.
I don't. if you one of the things you got in common, at least you're the same colors as Greenwood, so they may confuse you with them.
Mm-hmm. Right? They confuse me anyway.
I understand. Well, so who are you going to go with for your Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week this week?
Well, we went co-players the other night, you know, with Peyton mm-hmm. Beckman and Jordan Hill. They'll probably both be mentioned in this podcast, mm-hmm. but our Todd Moore Player of the Week is going to be Jordan Hill for the ball game Friday night.
Well, that's great.
So if you had Jordan Hill at Vegas, if you put a dollar on it, you just won a nickel.
Yeah, that's right.
You're now a nickel richer.
That's right. Hey, at least you're not behind.
Jordan Hill's the betting favorite.
Yeah,
absolutely.
To win player of the game.
That's exactly right. Every week.
Yeah.
But congratulations to him for being the Todd Moore Shelter Insurance Outlaw Player of the Week. Moving on to this week, you face the Foreman Gators, who have not won a game, but you're going down there, and you know they've kind of been up and down. I've seen some good things out of them. I think they're playing a whole lot better than they did last year.
I agree.
And this
got a lot more stability.
Yeah, this is going to be our DeQueen Motorsports game of the week. And really looking forward to this. I know the Outlaws probably think that they may, you know, after two really tough weeks, this one may be a little lighter. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say any games, something's just a guarantee, but it's not going to be Murfreesboro or Junction City. We know that, right?
That's what I was going to say. And, if the Outlaws hadn't lost a couple in a row, this would be one of those trap games where you might overlook them. But I'm sure the coaching staff's going to get them focused and go down there and play good, hard-nosed football. We might be without a few key players this week. But, you can't take Foreman lightly. They're at home.
Nope.
And – I'm not sure what their schedule
better.
Is. There's a chance it could be senior night for them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they have left, but they're gonna be fired up for the football game.
They will be.
They're going to see an opportunity as well.
Coach Baker told us they're going to be low on numbers. He said they finished the game tonight with 12 players.
Mm-hmm. And for 12 players, they're playing really well. And I think when you look at the game that they played this last week, there are things that happen that make the score really not indicative of how the game actually was on the field. And I think that if they clean up some of that stuff, the game could be a lot closer. And they got somebody, I'm telling you, you got Jordan Hill, DJ Anderson can take over a game at any point in time.
I was going to say DJ Anderson, he's been there a few years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you got to keep an eye on him. They mentioned Brody Bearden. He had around 150 yards rushing last week. And I know he's just a sophomore. Now, last year he started against us at quarterback as a freshman.
Yeah.
They moved him up. And, I mean, so he's going to be an athlete. They're going to have some skilled players that we have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's for sure. And so, looks like a good game. But, you got Dirks, Outlaws, Foreman Gators, always a big game.
Thursday night, the Junior Outlaws host the Foreman Gators, and somebody will correct me if I'm wrong after they hear this, but I believe if the Outlaws win, they're the conference champs.
They haven't lost, have they?
No, they haven't lost.
There's a lot of that going around.
But one thing I do want to mention, and I started to make myself a note, because we won't have another podcast out before this happens, but next week, the Junior Outlaws game's been moved from Thursday night, the 31st, to Tuesday night, the 29th. They'll host Mineral Springs. So anybody listening that won't hear it in time next week, I'm giving you a warning this week, and you can get out and watch them on a Tuesday night. They're a fun bunch to watch.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, King Tut. And now that we've got the Outlaws taken care of, we'll move on to some other things. And first thing we're going to look at is our Toad Thumper Lures Offensive Player of the Week overall.
Going with Peyton Beckman of the Outlaws, 6 of 12, 103 yards and a touchdown. He's had a great year, and we wanted to recognize him this week.
All right, and the Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Week overall?
Going to be Colton Rowe, the defensive tackle from the Ashdown Panthers. Had several tackles, had a great season. I mean, Jim said it, A-plus effort against the Nashville Scrappers.
Okay, and then the Adderose Designs Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Player of the Area this week.
We went a little different this time because we have just had so much fun following the Causatot Eagles the last 2 years. As Eagles Take Flight is what I've called it.
It's kind of like a Cinderella story.
It is. It is. It has been so cool, and I'm so thankful that Dakota Barrett was able to kind of take us on this ride. And this week, our player of the area, Southwest Arkansas, is going to be Zane Tollett, the cornerback for the Causatot River Eagles. And there's going to be a T-shirt coming his way. It may be a little big, but there's going to be a T-shirt coming his way.
He can grow into it.
Yeah, he can.
That's right. That's right. We're not sending him yours.
He can't grow into that.
He could go camping in that thing.
You never know. know. You never know.
But congratulations to Zane Tollin and to the Costaic River Eagles for, you know, just continuing to grow in their football program. Amazing thing. We talked to Coach Dakota Barrett a little bit about next year. They're going to have a JV team next year. And so just looking forward to seeing them continue
to grow. We want to do everything we can to encourage that.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it started as a flicker. Now it's a flame, and it's going to be a house of fire for long.
I believe that too. That's probably all the local football we got, unless y'all got something else. One thing I want to mention really quickly before we get into anything else is that the Cowboys did not lose this weekend. They won by a point over nobody. They were
our teams went 2-0 this week.
Yeah, they did. Green Bay had a tough game.
Hey, Green Bay is they're third in the NFC North right now.
Oh, that NFC North, man.
With a 5-2 record.
Yeah, that's the best division.
And to say they're third in NFC North, I think they might be the third best team in the NFL right now. And that's ahead of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I would throw Kansas City in that mix.
Tell you what, it's hard not to count the Ravens.
Yeah, the Ravens are.
Yeah. They look pretty good last night.
Look smart by picking up Derrick Henry, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Makes Jerry Jones look intelligent, too. But that's a different story. We can talk about Jerry Jones a little bit if you want to. You know, he can't pick up – he can't figure out what to do. You know, if you're going to be the general manager of the football team, then manage the football team. Don't worry about firing radio jocks. Wow. I mean, what difference does it matter what they ask you, right? Yeah. That's what they get paid to do, is ask you those questions.
Well, and Greg and I, we got to watch the game together last night, and I said, you know, the thing with Jerry Jones is the Cowboys are worth a gazillion dollars. They could steal anybody's GM. They could go out and get the best GM, maybe, if somebody would work for them, in the NFL, overpay them, way overpay them. They're not part of the salary cap. You can pay your GM anything you want. Yeah. And it may instantly solve a bunch of problems for them, mostly Jerry Jones tampering with the football talent.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the big things about, you know, as we saw last night, and you know, it's obvious because Derrick Henry's the leading rusher, you know, huge mistake.
Yeah.
Huge. And that's what the radio people were asking him about, and that's when he got mad.
Yeah.
And he knows it was a mistake, I'm sure. But the thing about it is that, you know, when you talk about value of a team, and, you know, and we talked about that some last night, you talk about the value of the Cowboys, probably the most wealthy sports team in the world. Maybe not soccer. I don't know about soccer, but at least for
the major
North American sports.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that. So biggest thing, you know, if he would have picked up Derrick Henry, who wanted to play for them,
who moved there,
he moved to Dallas. If he'd picked them up right now, his franchise would be worth more money.
Yeah.
And Derrick Henry has a chip on his shoulder because everybody kind of gave up on him.
Yeah.
You know, the Titans just
– yeah. Well, I hated to see the Ravens get him, man.
They're not halfway through the season, and he has nearly 1,000 yards rushing.
Derrick Henry may be the difference between the Steelers and the Ravens. I think that pushes the Ravens better than the Steelers.
I can't argue with that. You know, the Steelers looked really good the other night playing the Jets.
How many coaches could have done what Mike Tomlin done? Had a quarterback that was 4-2, played pretty well, only turned the ball over one time, 10 touchdowns versus one interception, and him say, well, I got to find out what I got in this other guy.
Yeah.
And the other guy goes in and plays great. I mean, Andy Reid maybe could have got away with that, but there's not very many coaches in the NFL could have got away with that.
Well, got away with it yet. But I want to see what Tuttle says about what his thoughts are about him switching quarterbacks like that.
Well, I just want to say I'm aggravated because I had Pickens on the bench in my fantasy league.
Oh, there you go.
And he had a pretty nice game. But
he had a nice
game. Hey, I thought Wilson, you know, I kind of gave up on Wilson myself. I didn't think he was the answer. He came in and what did he throw for? 260 something. I mean,
three touchdowns.
Well, he looked good.
See, man, I've told Tony this. You know, we talked about it, but in my opinion, unless he's playing him to trade him, and he told Justin Fields that, I think he's creating controversy where it doesn't need to be there, because Russell Wilson is not the long-term solution for the Steelers. The other side of that is Tomlin may have decided that Justin Fields isn't the long-term solution either. If he did that, then that's a different story, and then he's just playing this year to see what he can do.
Right.
And, but
they were high on Wilson coming in.
Well,
yeah. And the injury.
If you believe Tomlin, and I mean, I don't have any reason to not think that he's not telling the truth. You know, the Steelers' standard is Super Bowl or bust, and he needed to find out which quarterback gave him the best shot at winning the Super Bowl. And now I'm not sure that he knows because
he's made it hard on himself.
He definitely has, because where do you go from here now? And I think that I love Mike Tomlin. He's been I know that he's only won one Super Bowl, been to two in 17 years, but there's something to be said, you know, for the condition of my, you know, my cardiac condition and my emotional stability, that the Steelers haven't had a losing season in 17 years. I've not had to endure a losing season as a Steeler fan in 17 years. Probably something you two guys can't say.
I hadn't had a whole lot. a few 8-8s maybe, but.
Yeah. So I mean, I love Tomlin, but I even questioned that move. I had to question the move.
Well, and that's the thing about me is, I mean, it may all work out, and I will say this and give the Steelers credit. If it work out anywhere, that's where it'll work out, because they've got more stability in their coaching staff and their management and their ownership than any other team in sports, probably.
And so
that's going to play into that, but I can just see it being, you know, a very divisive thing inside the clubhouse there, as you know, especially after Russell Wilson played the way he played, because in my opinion, the defense pulled Justin Fields along.
That's what I was just going to say.
And so Russell Wilson, what he did, I mean, how many times did they score 37 points in the first six games?
None.
That's right.
That's what I was going to say. They want to see where they're at, but, you know, they are a team that could get by with a subpar offense because of that defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, that defense is loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And you know, and switching gears just for a minute, talk about Green Bay, because, got a good team. I thought they were a little lucky to win Sunday, though. I really thought they'd lost.
Did you watch that?
I didn't see the end of it.
Okay, the end of it, you know, I'm one of the most critical people of coaches and clock management. It drives me nuts. And I thought they managed the clock really well to the last minute of the ball game, you know, to get down there and score. They weren't even using timeouts that they had. I don't think they used one to kick the game-winning field goal. Still had one left, and
Here's a question. I was thinking about this as I was watching. I don't know which game I was watching last night. I think it was the Chargers and the Cardinals, which the Cardinals won. Boy, I was happy because I just assumed Harbaugh didn't even have a job. Anyway, he's a cheater.
Anything else about Harbaugh you'd like to get off your chest?
Yeah. Michigan. His brother's a better coach, too.
The Michigan faithful wish he didn't have a job, too.
Yeah, I know. But you know, the thing that they talked about, analytics. You know, they talk about analytics. And you know, you see all these teams doing things that they never did before. I mean, going for it on fourth and four from your own 40-yard line. You know, and those things, and they, you know, okay, I'm not going to say maybe they work out, you know, but to me, that's just not, I guess the game of football's changed and I'm old. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. I just wonder what y'all thought about it, because
I'm half of that. Yes,
yeah, I am old. That's right. That's right. You're right about that. But you know, the thing that gets me about it is what happened to punting and playing defense?
Yeah, field position.
Yeah, field position. I don't understand.
Maybe it's
that.
Because, and I don't think it was on this podcast that I mentioned it, but maybe it's because in it seems like high school, college, and the NFL, every kick of any kind, punt, kickoff, there's a flag. The officials just want to throw a flag on kickoffs.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because they don't understand the kickoff rules, too.
Well, I mean, that's some crazy-looking stuff.
What about? And I don't know if you got to see it, Greg, but they actually reversed a pass interference call in the Georgia Texas game. Did y'all see that?
Is this when they went to throwing the bottles and stuff on the field?
Yes. Yeah, it was
crazy. I read about it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it live. Dad and I were watching it because the Mountaineers were getting pounded. And I just had to add that. And, you know, Texas picks off a pass. And was it Texas picked off the pass or was it Georgia?
Yeah, it was Texas. Yeah. Texas picked it off. They called pass interference. The crowd, the student crowd, goes nuts and throws bottles
instead
and everything
of penalizing else. Them, they take off the pass interference. And I thought Kirby Smart was going to have an aneurysm.
Here's the deal with me is, there's lots of things there, and I'm not going to tell you I know all the rules about college football where I can tell you for sure 100% that they couldn't change that call. I'm 90% sure they are not supposed to change that call.
Right.
That's a judgment call, and it's not to be changed.
What do you think now, that those officials were worried about their physical well-being? Or
Well, here's the deal with me is if you're going to officiate a football game and you can't tell me that there's any way that they shouldn't have called some kind of penalty on that crowd for what they did.
Absolutely.
And
when you don't, you just encourage it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, anybody that watched that game the other night, I mean, they take your bottle with you because you might get a call changed if you throw it on the field fast.
The call that was changed over the weekend, and it didn't have any bearing on the game or the results, but it was that target in an Arkansas game. I mean, how do they overturn that?
I don't know.
Launching is part of the rule, and he definitely launched.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Well, you know, Taylor Green got hit out of bounds, and that was targeting too. And they didn't call out either. But, man, I'm biased, but it seems like we didn't get those calls.
Speaking of college football, I criticize the NIL. But it has turned the football world upside down. College football is a free-for-all right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love it. I love everybody.
You're going to see more and more coaches take the route of the Virginia coach, Tony Bennett. Not the guy that sang about San Francisco, but the Virginia basketball coach who basically, I mean, from his press conference, it just sounded like, I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep up with it all.
Yeah. And Indiana's coach, he's put himself out on Front Street as a candidate for any job out there right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah. He
basically said, I don't lose.
Well, I think that's going to be something we can talk about for a long time.
Absolutely.
Because it's not going anywhere. And you know what? Pandora's box has been opened. And if you remember that story, it didn't get better after the box got opened.
I just those upsets in college football. And I mean, it's wide open right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing about it is, I mean, it's even trickled down to high school. Yeah. And I'm not saying they're getting paid.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that now you can just move. You don't like it, you just move. And so, anyway, that's something we can talk about another time. We probably rambled on long enough today. Y'all got anything else before we go?
Go with your strength, and we're good at rambling.
Yeah, that's good. anything, King Tut?
Go Packers.
All right.
Go Steelers.
Go and do it, Greg.
Let's go home.
Say the
I'll
line.
See you next
Say
week.
Say the line.
I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.